We often hear the phrase, Jesus died for our sins, and Paul himself uses it earlier in this chapter. But how often do we hear that Jesus was resurrected for our sins? And how often do we consider resurrection as part of our own destiny? For many, the promise of the afterlife involves an eternity of bliss somewhere up there floating with the angels. Earlier this year, we held a series of discussions here on the afterlife, and I was reminded again that resurrection actually doesn't have a lot of traction in many people's thinking about salvation. When it comes to Jesus, the dying part tends to get the most attention. Somewhere along the way, and now especially within Christian communities, the fact that Jesus died takes center stage, and resurrection is pushed a little bit to the wings. And I think this has in turn affected how we see the afterlife and what Paul says is the great Christian hope of resurrection. Now, resurrection has created a similar stir, I guess, in the modern scientific era, often seen as absurd and against science and rational thought. Historically, theological liberalism has gone for the jugular when it comes to resurrection. I wonder why that is. I think part of it is because of the radical nature of the claim. The Corinthians also had issues with it too, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 15. The idea of bodily resurrection took some time for the Greco-Romanized Corinthians to get to grips with, and probably following in Plato's footsteps, there was the Greek philosophy which had a very low view of the body. And therefore, for the body to be resurrected was seen as, ooh, why would you do that? But that's not what we see in Paul. That's not what we see in the scriptures. We see Paul fighting pretty strong for them to understand the importance of resurrection. And I think we can take heed from that as well. In today's passage, Paul states, no resurrection, no forgiveness of sin. Even suggesting that without it, our faith is pointless and we should be pitied. For Paul, without the resurrection part, the forgiveness of sin part does not work either. Some biblical commentators state that this is because the resurrection vindicates the identity of Christ, therefore qualifying the efficacy of his death, which is true. But I'm actually convinced there is more to it than just that. The resurrection is more than just proving that Christ is divine. Our biblical scholar Tom Wright contends that unless there is a bodily resurrection, death has not been defeated. After all, if we believe in the immortality of the soul or the spirit, then we can't argue that death is beaten if the soul just carries on as it was going to anyway. In order for death to be beaten, physical bodies, which are the vessels that die, must be reanimated and made new. In Romans, we see that the wages of sin are death. This is why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15 that without resurrection, no forgiveness of sin. Without Jesus being bodily resurrected, there's no physical proof that death has been beaten. Because souls don't die. And so by logical extension, we cannot say our sins are forgiven because the wages of sin, which is death, have not been paid. This is why bodily resurrection was the number one thing for Paul, the apostle. And if we ourselves are not bodily resurrected, then death has not been defeated. Thus, we are to be pitied, which is what Paul says. Resurrection is not a re-description of death and or the state which results from death. It is the reversal of death. The undoing, the beating of death and its effects. That's the whole point. So Jesus' bodily resurrection, in other words, means for us the giving back or the recreation of our own bodies sometime after death. Paul describes that Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits. So Jesus is the forerunner. He's the one who says this is what it's going to be like. This is how it's going to be. And we see in Jesus' post-resurrection interactions that there is a bodiliness to his resurrected body. What does Mary do when she first sees him? Clings to him. She doesn't fall through him. She clings onto him. There's a physicality about his resurrection. He ate fish with the disciples. That's one of my favorite bits. The first thing he does, he meets up with the disciples and has fish and chips on the beach. That's awesome. He eats. He shows them his scars and they examine with their own bodies his scars. Jesus is risen, but he's not risen as some ethereal phantom. He is embodied, physical. There is something actually quite ordinary about his resurrection. But there is also something extraordinary about it. It's the same, but it's different. This is also the glory that awaits us. Resurrection from death. Rebodied creatures without the broken, perishable, bad bits. And we get to live on a renewed earth. We see in Revelations that heaven, which is the place where God and angels dwell, reunites and comes down to earth, and there's this recapitulation of Eden. Heaven and earth come back together. So what does that mean for us today? Firstly, it's a point of inspiration. Now, this is a bit of a naff illustration. It's nothing in comparison to what we are awaiting. But I'm waiting for a new pair of shoes to come in the mail because my sports shoes are falling to bits. My toes are starting to kind of come out of the shoes, which is really the purpose of shoes. So every day I open the door to see if that package is there so that maybe today when I go to the gym, I won't feel really embarrassed. But there's this anticipation that I have that's giving me something to look forward to. If the Christian hope really is that we will be resurrected with bodies much like these, but better, incorruptible, and that our eternal home is actually here on this earth made new, as we see in the book of Revelation, and not some floaty heaven, then we get to live and sing and love and relate and dance and eat and drink and play and swim and explore this new earth, but without the dangers, the evils, the heartache, the corruption, the pollution, the environmental damage. And for me, that puts a spring in my step. The whole of 1 Corinthians 15 is all about resurrection. But interestingly, it ends with this one wonderful passage. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Seems like a funny way to end a passage about resurrection. But it's there for a reason. Paul has put it there for a reason. The resurrection has significance today because God's new creation was kick-started when Christ was resurrected as the first fruits. And because God has already started to make creation new, all that we do in Christ and by the Spirit is part of creating that new world. Nothing we do today is wasted. Resurrection is not just a glorious future, it's also about a meaningful present. The hope doesn't just point to another world, it's focused on the redemption of this one. As our home today and in the future decisively when Jesus returns and all things are made new, our homes evermore. This is what Tom Wright quotes. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is about. So it's happening here and now, but in the future there's a decisive moment where Christ comes back and it's made completed. Completion. Here's a poem by a Czech poet that I found called Resurrection. Is it true that after this life of ours we shall one day be awakened by a terrifying clamor of trumpets? Forgive me, God, but I console myself that the beginning and resurrection of all of us dead will simply be announced by the crowing of the cock. After that, we'll remain lying down a while. The first to get up will be Mother. We'll hear her quietly laying the fire, quietly putting the kettle on the stove, and cozily taking the teapot out of the cupboard. We'll be home once more. Death, where is your sting? Jesus died and was resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we may have new life and purpose today, and bodily lives forevermore. Amen.